Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. I'm excited for today's show, folks. Here's the deal. Last week, we had Eric Altman and Stan Gordon on. We were talking about the Pennsylvania Bigfoot camping adventure, which takes place August 22nd and the 23rd. Again, we'll have a link in the description of this program so that you can get your tickets for that. Now, this week, I want to say maybe is a little bit of a sequel, and it is not. I'll tell you why. During that program last week, Eric kind of dropped a little bit of a story, and Stan dropped a little bit of a story, and then they kind of slid by it. And I was like, wait a minute. Because Eric had mentioned his partner, and his partner had had an unusual experience. And since then, I've received an email from someone who said that they had an unusual experience with an orb. And I haven't told my guest this yet, that they had an unusual experience with different shaped orbs. And they asked me about these different shaped orbs. One had kind of a stringy shaped, another had an unusual shaped orb with lines in it. And then I forget what the third shaped orb was. And I said, you know what? I think we'll talk to our guest about it today. Because I have no idea. My guest today was the person that Eric was talking about who had a dangerous experience with an orb. And this isn't the first time I've heard about it. Today we're going to talk about the danger of orbs, which I always, pardon my language, thought was bullshit. Because when, and he's going to tell you it's not, because when, as investigators, when we talk about orbs, it's either bugs, dust, or something on a camera that is passive, benign, something that just floats by. And, you know, we make jokes in the field, right? If you hit a couch in the middle of the night, look, it's grandma and every one of our dead relatives floating up in the air, right? That's the big investigator joke. Hit the couch and watch all of your dead relatives float up in the air. That's the big joke with investigators, because it's nothing. Orbs are nothing. That's not true, and we're going to change your thinking about it today. Now, one of the things that I found out probably about a year ago with another guest is that there's this connection between UFOs and Bigfoot. And whenever you've got this connection with UFOs and Bigfoot, you tend to see these orange orbs. And these orange orbs are solid energy orbs, and you see them on site. They're physical orbs. These aren't imaginary. These aren't things that you think you see. You can capture them. Not only can you capture them on camera or on video camera, these things will come right up to you, and they're very dangerous. In fact, they can burn you. They can injure you. When I went to go do research on them, I saw a few cases of people even being harmed by them. And my guest today is one of those people who was harmed by one of these orbs. And we're going to get his story today. Tom Mihok has been researching and investigating the paranormal for over 20 years. He's investigated hauntings and other paranormal phenomena in some of the most haunted locations in the country. I'll get it right. Tom is also a cryptozoologist and a field researcher for the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. Along with the PBS, Tom does some extensive research on the Bigfoot phenomena as well as other cryptids. In addition to his research and investigations, Tom also speaks at conferences and has just begun work on his first book, Dealing with the Paranormal. I want to also throw in there, Tom is also a martial artist, and he also is involved with different martial arts as well. Tom's no slouch. Tom is also very physically fit. Tom's not one of these guys who's sitting on the couch eating potato chips. He's out there in the wild. He's out there keeping himself physically fit as well. I want to welcome to the show, Tom Mihok. Tom, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me. It's truly an honor. I really appreciate it.
The reason I throw that in there, and I want just to let people know, this isn't one of those things where, you know, oh yeah, well, you know, he got injured or he injured his eye. It was probably something where, you know, he's probably loading up on the sweets and, you know, it probably blew his eye out with a 500 blood sugar, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, not like the kid on the other side of this camera who, right, you know, happened to have a diabetic episode, because I have blown my eye out twice, truth in advertising. Mm-hmm. Mine was a diabetic episode, and I've done that twice, and we'll have eye stories for everybody. Eye stories all around today. But I have gone blind in my left eye twice from what's called a retinal vein occlusion. So I can relate when Eric said you had this experience, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. And he had talked about blood filling the eye. I just automatically, I felt the pain. And when he said you had gone in and you had shots and surgeries, and then he started talking about scrapings and different things, I cringed. I mean, if people don't mind me getting a little graphic here, little Timmy crawled up inside my body cavity. That's how badly I felt your pain, my friend. It was bad. I mean, I've never empathized with anybody more in my life when he started talking about the different things that you had to go through because of this incident. And at that moment, I was like, my God. But then when you reached out to me and said, oh, I heard Eric told you my story, I was like, you know what? Now that you're on the line, hey, you know what? Why don't you come on? Let's talk about this.
Sure.
First of all, I want to commend you for being able to go through all this and be a little humble about it, because it's not something that you go, oh, it's horrible. Life is horrible. Life sucks. Oh, life has dealt me a raw deal. You're not out there screaming about it.
Well, I can't. That'd be a lie. Life is great. You know, I've got a great wife, great kids, great family, friends. The people I research and investigate with are just salt of the earth. You know, I love them like family. And, I have a good job. I get to go out on the weekends and investigate sightings or investigate certain areas like we're going to talk about tonight. And I get to do, one of the things I enjoy the most, that and the martial arts, like you've mentioned, I've been doing for close to 40 years. And so I've been pretty blessed. You know, I get to do the things I love to do. I've got great people around me. And, like we've talked about off air, the bumps in the road are going to come. There's nothing you can do about them, and you got to just roll with the punches. So I think as long as you look at it that way, you'll be all right.
Which is a wonderful attitude to have, my friend. It really is. It's one of those things where, you know, like you said, when you do hit those bumps in the road, you kind of have to roll with it. That's all you can do. You just roll with it and then you continue. Eric did a good job of kind of setting it up, but he kind of rolled over it too because we had a bunch of other things to get to, and Stan kind of did the same thing. I want to get into it in depth, and I want to talk about that taping, because you were taping with Small Town Monsters at the time.
Yeah.
Set it up for me a little bit as to this area. That area, again, is called what? That area that you were investigating.
Well, we call it Area X.
Okay.
Like Eric mentioned, we don't really give the location out because it's still an active investigation area.
Uh-huh.
So we don't want a lot of people to hear about it and then start, we'll have the weekend warriors pulling up and, it'll kind of contaminate the area. Not to mention that it is on private property to some extent. So, we do have permission to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is... not in the Chestnut Ridge and not really in the Laurel Ridge. It's kind of in between the two. The exact spot is a good 2 miles or so off the main road into the mountain. And when I say, the road is treacherous, that's an understatement. Stan Gordon, Eric's mentor, and, of course, Eric being my mentor, Stan's been researching the UFOs, Bigfoot, the paranormal since 1965. He's been all over the Chestnut Ridge, all over Pennsylvania. Eric and I took him up there one day, and he was in awe. He said in all his travels, he's never been to a location that is so difficult to get to as far as the road you're traveling on, you know, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is so deep into the mountain and so secluded. We took him up during the day. And the first thing he mentioned when he got out of the truck, he stood for a moment, looked around. He said, you know, it's like the cone of silence from Get Smart. Hmm. He said, you don't hear bugs, you don't hear birds, you don't hear anything. It has a very heavy, creepy, ominous sort of feeling to it. Now, that's during the day. When you go up there at night, there is just no ambient light. I mean, you're in darkness. So it really takes on a whole new atmosphere after dark.
Okay.
But the area in and of itself is so secluded. And then the particular area, it's connected by a couple different roads. And in the middle, there's a clearing. Right up a little path from the clearing is a small cemetery. Now, again, this is 2 miles into the woods. There's no buildings, no houses, nothing for miles. So it strikes you as odd when you get to a location like this and you see a little cemetery, you're thinking, well, how did that get here? Mm-hmm. You know, what purpose does that have in this spot? And then when we get into some of the details about some of the experiences, it just kind of makes the atmosphere of the location that much creepier.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to ask you, first of all, as a guy who spent a lot of his days in the woods, when you hear Stan say a cone of silence, and I know this too as someone who spent a lot of time outside, the minute you get outside and you hear nothing, you got to think one of a few things. One, there's got to be some sort of predator in the area, right? Because when it's right. that quiet out, you have to be looking around. I mean, you got to have your head on a swivel and think, okay, so there's something out here, right? Mm-hmm. What is it? And if it's that silent that often, what do your instincts tell you is in that area?
Well, let me say this kind of to start. We have had numerous types of activity in this little area that we refer to as Area X. We've had Bigfoot activity. I can tell you about some of the evidence we've caught, you know, as we go forward. We've had paranormal type activity. You know, we've had everything from disembodied voices, the glowing orbs that we're going to be talking about, bluff charges in the woods where, you know, we're hearing something big coming very quickly towards us through the woods, and then it just stops. A lot of different activity. Eric has a lot of this recorded on, you know, with his equipment. But yeah, I mean, the first thing I think of is there's a predator. The second thing I think of is we're 2 miles away from any main road or any civilization. So if there is a predator, this might not be the best situation to be in, but we've been very fortunate, never had any real problem with anything, at least anything physical.
Now, is there a major wolf or bear population in that area? Something where you could misconstrue Bigfoot for a major predator?
Well, we do have a bear population. On average, a black bear in PA is going to be about six and a half feet standing straight up.
Okay.
So that's about the biggest thing that we would expect to find. no wolves to speak of. Then the rest is just your normal wildlife, your foxes, coyotes, owls, hawks, those types of, you know, the normal animals that you're going to find mostly everywhere. And I'll, as we go along in the story, I'll get to one point where we'll talk about a little bit of evidence, and it kind of ties in with the bluff charging and with the predator theory.
Okay.
So, like I said, whenever we get to that point, I don't want to
Sure.
jump ahead too far.
Sure. But nothing, nothing that would make it that silent in that large of a space.
Nothing that should, no.
Okay.
Now, and don't get me wrong, Tim. I don't want to give you the wrong idea. I mean, you know, there's plenty of times that we do hear the bugs, the birds, sure, the owls, and so forth. It's just there are certain nights where there's just something off, mm-hmm, something different about the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And those are the nights a lot of times we tend to have a little bit of activity pop up.
Okay.
And we've been going there now for a few years, and we've had our droughts where we've been there a few times and consistently with nothing happening. But we've had far more, evenings out there where things that have happened, we just can't explain, that we don't have answers for.
Interesting. All right. So in this area, Area X, have you noticed different things that would indicate Sasquatch, like twisted tree branches, things that would look like structures, things like that as well?
Sure. Well, yeah, we have. And to kind of give you a little bit more background, the area surrounding Area X, let's just say, and I could be off a mile or two, but let's just say anywhere from a 5 to 10 mile radius. That area historically, year after year, has had Bigfoot sightings, reported sightings.
Okay.
Where Area X is, the way we actually found it was we were speaking with somebody who had heard, she is a paramedic, and their station was at the bottom of this mountain, bottom of this hill. She had heard some howls and things that didn't seem right on several different occasions. So we followed her and her husband up in our Jeeps and looking to try to get to roughly the area she thought that they heard the howls from. And that's how we stumbled upon this area. So the area in and of itself has a lot of historical sightings, a lot of active sightings. There have been a couple just in the last 2 years. In fact, these two sightings I'm thinking of are almost a year apart to the day, where paramedics or first responders have had Bigfoot sightings on the exact same road within about a mile to 2 miles of each other, almost a year apart to the day.
Wow.
And that's just miles away from where Area X is. So theoretically, if there is something roaming around the woods, the way the crow flies, you know, this is not far at all from where a lot of these sightings have taken place.
Now, I had teased earlier in the program that generally in the last few years, I've learned in a lot of these wooded areas where you've seen Bigfoot, UFOs generally aren't far behind. Have you found that there's been some UFO sightings in this area as well?
There have been UFO sightings for sure. Stan, you know, I don't really follow the UFOs as closely as Stan does, so he would be a better source to talk about the actual UFO sightings.
Okay.
But as far as these orbs or whatever you want to call them, so many people call them different things: orbs, ghost lights, spirit lights, elementals, will-o'-the-wisp, whatever you want to call them. They have been sighted all over the Chestnut Ridge. In fact, Eric and myself have had numerous encounters, if you will, or sightings. Mm-hmm. Never as close up as the ones he was mentioning in Area X, but we've seen them on numerous occasions in the trees at a distance and so forth. The Chestnut Ridge, like Eric had mentioned and Stan had mentioned, it's just ripe with all types of reports: cryptids, UFO hauntings, just everything under the paranormal umbrella.
So this leads me to an interesting question here, Tom. Do you consider there to be a difference between a UFO and a will-o'-the-wisp or ghost lights or anything like that? Is that a different classification for you, or do you put it in the same category? Because to me, it seemed like when we were talking to Stan, he put them in the same category.
Yeah, I do look at them differently. Stan is, you know, and it's not to say Stan's not right or that I'm right or, you know, mm-hmm. none of us have the answers. Right. We don't know what they are.
Right.
But I think as researchers, we all look at these different anomalies through our own intellectual prism. And when Stan, coming from a UFO investigator perspective, I think, you know, he naturally is going to associate those more with miniature UFOs. He always called them mini UFOs. Mm-hmm. When I saw them, they look more paranormal, more, I don't know if spiritual is the right word, maybe something like an elemental. You know, one of my good friends and one of our research partners, Ron Murphy, he always proposed the theory that maybe Bigfoot is part of the Fae.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always have Bigfoot sightings in relation to these glowing balls of light, and these glowing balls of light are sometimes referred to as fairy lights, elementals, will-o'-the-wisp. So is that the connection? Maybe it is. I heard you on the show when you had Stan and Eric, I heard you mention, are these balls of light maybe just the way Bigfoot, if it's a spiritual being, is that just the way he's appearing to us?
Yeah.
Could very well be.
A way of, exactly. And I was trying to communicate it to Stan in a way that I could, what's a good way of putting it? In a way that I could kind of relate it to him in a way that he could absorb it, mm-hmm. You know, because I could tell he was trying to put it in terms of a machine, and I was trying to relate it to him in ways of a flesh and blood creature. Like if a Sasquatch were to stand in front of you as a big hairy beast, it may scare you, right? But if it could come to you as a light being, you might accept it, right? If it were to come to you in the form of a light being, you might go, oh, a pretty light, and you might gravitate towards it, as opposed to, oh, big hairy being, and you might run from it because it's too scary. So it might have the ability to morph into a light being, and you could relate to it better, or you might gravitate towards it. And I think I might have missed with Stan on that whole deal. I think that's where we parted company, so to speak, in that conversation. And it's okay to agree to disagree. There's nothing wrong with that, you know.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I wanted to talk to you about it, because you're the one who's had the experience, right?
Yeah, and I can tell you, Tim, without a doubt, I don't know what the lights were, but they were most certainly not anything mechanical. They were not solid. You know, we can get into those details as, you know, we go through the story. But
sure.
Definitely, I can't say what they were, but I know what they weren't.
Okay.
Because I was literally 5 feet or closer. I could have actually reached out and touched them.
Hmm. All right.
And the more I think about it and how the events unfolded that night, it doesn't scare me, but I'm just in awe of the whole experience. You know, as researchers, as people in the paranormal, we always want to have the sighting. We always want to see the apparition. We want to see the Bigfoot. We want to have the close encounter. Well, you know, that close encounter really made me stop and think, and it really didn't, again, it didn't scare me, but it really put things into a different perspective, because as we'll discuss, you know, as the story goes along, there are sometimes consequences to, you know, to seeking these things out.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take our break now. And when we come back, let's tell people about what exactly happened that fateful night when you came across that light. And then we'll talk about the after effects and exactly what kind of pain you were put through after meeting this light. And how exactly lights aren't exactly pleasure, but sometimes are quite painful. And exactly why you don't want to run across something paranormal necessarily. My guest is Tom Mihok from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, And we do have a link to the Pennsylvania Bigfoot camping adventure. Now, we should say that not everything is negative when it comes to Bigfoot, and that they've had plenty of positive Bigfoot experiences, and we want you to go out and experience those Bigfoot experiences. In fact, Tom is looking forward to the Pennsylvania Bigfoot camping adventure, which is coming up August 22nd and the 23rd. We have a link to tickets in the description of this program, so we want you to check that out. And the website itself. When we come back, we'll talk about Tom's experience in Area X and what happened that fateful night that he was taping with Small Town Monsters. It's coming up next right here on The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Welcome back to The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is Tom Mihok, the subject today, well, we're talking about dangerous orbs. Tom was taping with Small Town Monsters in Area X, and I know you may be saying, Tim, dangerous orbs, isn't that an oxymoron? No. We're about to change your mind on this. Tom has had actually some, quite extensive damage having to do with his eye, dealing with what some people might call a will-o'-the-wisp. They might call it a ghost light. They might call it something else. We're about to find out as we speak with Tom. on this podcast about what it was he saw exactly in Area X. Tom, set the scene for us. You're in Area X. You're taping with Small Town Monsters. And what was the name of the special again that you were in with Small Town Monsters, so people can reference it?
It is a YouTube series called Sasquatch Unearthed the Ridge. The episode 2 is the night that we were up there filming, and they caught a lot of the activity that we'll be talking about on film.
Okay.
Which is, I think, very important because the orbs or ghost lights, whatever you want to call them, that are so often reported by people in the woods, researchers, hunters, whatever the case, Seth and the Small Town Monsters crew captured it on film. It
Excellent.
Is actually on film, one of them.
Okay.
We had numerous encounters that evening. But the one is clearly caught on film, and it was seen by, we had several groups at different vantage points, and it was seen by everybody in the groups. So it wasn't something that one person saw and misinterpreted for a flashlight or, you know, something of that nature. This was witnessed numerous times throughout that evening by everyone there. And one of the cameramen from Seth's team, to my understanding, was actually always very skeptical. And I don't have all the details, but I was told that after we filmed that evening, he was pretty taken aback by everything that happened and what was caught on film. Hmm. That, I believe, was his very first paranormal experience, you know, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he was really, really taken aback by it.
Huh.
So, yeah, again, this was numerous witnesses, very interesting evening for sure.
So take me to that moment where you're on that road. How is it that does this light take you by surprise? What is it you're doing at that particular point when you come across whatever this is that you see?
Well, again, we had small teams broken up into different parts of Area X. I was with a group in a little clearing that's right next to the cemetery. Eric, Seth, Ron Murphy, Connie and Chris Brinker, they were, you know, at one end, we were at the other. And it started off, we heard a strange howl that we couldn't really place. Shortly after that, we started experiencing, and the only way I can describe it, we started hearing a sound right in the tree line. Faint, but definitely audible. If you were at a wedding and somebody is tapping the spoon on the glass to make a toast,
yeah,
that little tink, tink, tink sound, we were hearing that all through the tree line. We spent about 40 minutes walking through the tree lines to see, was there things hanging on the trees that might be, you know, clanking into each other. We took a walk up through the cemetery. We investigated the whole area. We found absolutely nothing that could have made that sound. But we heard that sound consistently throughout the night. Shortly after that sound, or a little while after that sound became prevalent, we started noticing balls of light in the trees. These were smaller, blue and white sized balls of light. Different levels throughout the tree line, up and down the road, just kind of random, really no pattern to them. They weren't really moving a lot. We'd see them for a while. They'd move a little bit to one side, then they're gone. So then if you watch episode 2 of Seth's series, you see at one point they capture a very large white glowing ball of light on film. Now, from where Seth is standing, that is halfway between where Seth and his group and Eric, where those people were, halfway to the clearing to where myself, Connie Brinker, Ricky Cherubi, a lot of the researchers there, we were, you know, in the clearing. And the orb, excuse me, was literally in the road about halfway. After a little while, it disappeared. Mm-hmm. We're all discussing it. We're all trying to figure out what it was we saw. And then I don't recall who it was, but somebody looked up and said, they're back. Well, now on that road, about halfway down between either group, instead of one glowing ball of light, there was a amber reddish colored light. I would say, and this is, you know, just a guess being from the distance I was at, it appeared to me about the size of a basketball. There was another smaller orangish, whitish light about the size of, I would just say, a cantaloupe.
Okay.
At least from my perception, from where I was, the distance away, that's what I would describe them as. And we everybody saw them. We're on the radios back and forth. Everybody's like, you know, yeah, I see them. Yeah, I see them. We're trying to find out what they were. Now, initially, they were spaced out several feet away from each other. It almost looked like if a car was parked and you're looking at it from the side, mm-hmm. it's almost like you're seeing the headlight and the taillight.
Okay.
But of course, it was a little bit different because the red light was bigger. The other orb or light was bigger. Well, nothing was happening. We just, everybody's seeing the lights, and this is where it gets interesting. I decided I wanted to have a closer look. So I started walking down the road.
Oh.
And I didn't have, the only thing I had with me was a flashlight. I had it in my hand, but it was off.
Okay.
And as I walked towards them, I can't say for certain, but it appeared to me that they were also moving towards me. I could be wrong about that. Again, this is just my perception in that brief few moments. I was probably about 10 feet away. And, you know, I'm looking and listening and I'm trying to figure out what these lights are. The most logical thing to me was had to be somebody from Seth's camera crew, its equipment. You know, it has to be, because if you would actually see the road, this isn't like a two-lane road where you've got cars coming down. This is a thin country mountain road that maybe one car is going to come at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no way, like I said, it almost looked like a car was sideways. You couldn't do that on this road. So I'm still moving closer. I'm now about 5 feet, maybe 4 feet. And as I mentioned earlier, up on this road and up in the ridge like that, there is no ambient light. It is just pitch dark, especially when you're walking without a flashlight on. So as I'm now just 4 or 5 feet away, I started to say, Seth, is that you? The minute I spoke, the lights vanished.
Hmm.
I turned my flashlight on right away, and there was nobody on the road. I could not see either group, because where they were based at, it was far enough down the road and then just over a crest to where I didn't have direct line of sight. The lights made absolutely no sound. There was no odor, there was no sound. A lot of people that have come in contact with these types of phenomena have reported like a static electricity, nothing.
Yeah.
Also, the lights did not have, like, when it seemed that they were moving, they did not have like a light trail with them, as if like a flashlight were moving across the road, you would kind of see the tail or the trail of it.
Right.
These were self-illuminating spheres of light.
Huh.
And what Ron Murphy actually said to me weeks after, he said, "What do you think would have happened if you wouldn't have spoke?" And I said, "Well, I really don't know, but they did not disappear until I verbally spoke and made an audible sound. Up until that, they were just there. And the more I think about it, the more I think, if I hadn't have spoken, I probably could have walked up and touched them, whatever they were." And after the subsequent issues that arose after that night, I'm thinking it's probably really good that I didn't.
Yeah. Just from your description, it's almost like the two of you are doing this little dance, for lack of a better term. As you're walking up, you're trying to feel it out. It's feeling you out. You broke that trance by saying something, right? And had you just stood there, do you think it would have? I almost hate to ask this question, but do you think it would have tried to merge with you in some way? Would it have tried to? I don't want to use the word possess, because that's not, or tried to, because that's not the right word. Would it have tried to
interact
or understand you better?
Well, like I said, my perception was that they were moving towards me as I moved towards them. Now, I could be wrong about that. Again, this was, in the heat of the moment per se, and I can't be certain that they were actually moving, but I can honestly say this: if they weren't moving towards me, they weren't moving away either, because after a short walk, it was probably 30 to 40 yards from the clearing that I walked to actually get that close to them. If they weren't moving towards me, they weren't moving away, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And again, I make no claim to know. I'm not saying that these balls of light were X, Y, or Z. I do not know. All I can tell you is, the more I think about it, if I had not spoke, they wouldn't have disappeared.
I want to throw a couple of the thoughts at you here, and that's this. I mean, you hear about the different disappearance theories, right? And you think about portals and what exactly a portal is. Do you think those lights that you saw could have been portals? And could it have opened up bigger, and could you have fallen through it at any particular point? Because you say it was coming at you or getting bigger. Could it have?
Well, no, the orbs itself were staying the same size, but they just seem to be moving towards me as I move towards them. Now, whether or not I was perceiving that incorrectly, and maybe they weren't moving, but they were just stationary, I can't say for sure. But I know that they, at the very least, they weren't moving farther away.
Okay, but again, perception is only part of reality. You don't know what it would do once it got to you, right? And at that point, who's to say it doesn't open up and swallow you? We don't know what happens to these people who disappear, right? I mean, you hear people going missing on ridges, and all that's left is their tennis shoe. And there's nothing left of them. Is there a history of disappearances on Area X?
Not in that I'm aware of, not in that specific area. There are disappearances that have happened through the ridge. Okay. I'm not as versed in those cases. David Politis was out near that area at one point doing some filming, I believe. And that's really Mr. Politis' expertise. I really don't know much about the disappearances. But I know that there have been people that have gone missing in the ridge, and if not in that exact area, somewhat close within miles of it, not drastically far from where that is. There is a, well, I don't want to misspeak. I actually may be mixing two things up there with that. So I'm gonna hold off on saying okay. that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that have gone missing in the ridge or in the Chestnut Ridge, the Allegheny Mountains. I know there's the missing children of the Alleghenies. So there are history of it, but not in that specific area that I'm aware of.
Have you ever talked to David Pilates about your story?
No. This I actually met David one time about a year or so ago, but didn't have the opportunity to bring that up. I don't know if I'm not overly familiar with a lot of his reports, so I don't know if any of the disappearances have had any type of similarities as far as these lights.
Okay.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, just to see if he's ever heard of something similar, or yeah.
Right.
The other thing that kind of strikes me as odd is, again, it's that breaking of the. It's the breaking of the contact, or the vanishing, the quick vanishing, almost suggests that there was, I don't want to say nefarious means, but the fact that you were isolated, right? You were away from your group, which means that there was no one really around. I mean, they were around, but they weren't around. There was a brief opportunity for you to make contact. There's also a brief opportunity for them to abscond with you if they wanted to abscond with you, or do whatever it is they wanted to do with you, whatever these lights were, or make contact or communicate or whatever it is that they wanted to do. It could have been nefarious. It could have been good. It could have been, you can't read into it because it was just a neutral experience. Correct. But there were negative effects that happened from this. Eventually. When did these negative effects start to take place?
Just about 2, maybe 3 weeks after that initial encounter. Now, when Eric was talking about the lights, he had mentioned the story about him and I being on that same road just a few months later, and we also had together another encounter with two lights, different sizes, but almost the same colors. And that's when he was telling you the story about Eric and I were standing in the on that road, almost in a spot where I had the encounter, and his son Josh was coming up the road with the thermal imager.
Right.
Josh didn't see the lights, but there were two lights that were kind of, not, I don't want to say surrounding him, but in his vicinity. And he never even saw them, but Eric and I saw them. And that's odd too, because you would think that if me and Eric can both see them, why wouldn't he be able to see them? But for whatever reason,
I can explain why you would, because they've made themselves known to you. So now you're aware. I can understand maybe Eric, because he's made himself open and aware to the phenomenon. He's been out there looking for it before and maybe even seen it. With Josh, maybe somewhat closed off to it. Maybe not quite the believer. Maybe he's kind of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and not paying attention.
I guess we'll never really know, because we can't really say for certain what the lights are. And it's like with these anomalies, it's like we're answering questions with questions, because we say, all right, we don't know what the lights are. Well, we don't know what Bigfoot is.
Right.
We don't know any of these. If you take any of these anomalies and put them separately, we can't really say definitively what any of them are. I've heard people say, I've always, like Eric, I've always come from the theory that if Bigfoot's real, and I do believe it is, I believe that it's a physical animal. It's an un, discovered primate or species or, you know, what have you, but it's physical, it's solid. Again, people have said Bigfoot's part of the Fae. People have said Bigfoot's from UFOs. There's a prominent researcher on YouTube that says Bigfoot is a Nephilim. You know, so we really don't know what it is. So it's hard to say what connection there is with these balls of light to a Bigfoot or the UFOs. But as Stan recounted some of those cases from the 70s, you know, there were several sightings, and even historical and more current ones, where there have been UFOs spotted at the same time with a Bigfoot. There have been sightings with Bigfoot holding a ball of light in its hand. Mm-hmm. So, as Stan would say, the mystery is so weird, it protects itself. Because whenever you start to think you have a grasp on one angle of it, it just shifts and throws you the curveball.
I want to get back to your condition. You said 2 to 3 weeks afterwards, you start to feel different, or something starts to happen. What's the first thing you notice? Is it your eye? Is that the first thing that happens? What happens to you?
Yeah, the first thing that happened, Eric and I, we were back up at Area X. I was looking through a night vision scope, and I kept wiping the lens off. I'm thinking, man, what the heck is on this lens? And I put it back up to my eye, and it's all blurry. So then I put it to my other eye, and I could see fine. So I'm thinking, okay, something's wrong. So I had the blurry vision, made an appointment with an ophthalmologist, went down, and basically she looked in there, told me I had a hemorrhage. So they sent me to a retinal specialist, did a bunch of, I'm not sure what the tests themselves are called, but, you know, the one test where they inject you with an IV with dye, mm-hmm. They do the scans. And sure enough, my eye was bleeding. They could not determine the cause of it. They could not see where it was coming from. There was no visible wound per se that they could see to say, yep, that's what's bleeding. The blood would, you know, stay pooled in my eye, and it would look like I was, the best way I can describe it is like if you closed your left eye and look through your right eye, but use a lava lamp is your lens.
Really?
Because that's what it looked like. It was just big globs of blood just floating around in my eye. So we went back, I want to say maybe 2 months, a month later, they gave me an injection.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was? Was it a Vastin?
Blood stayed pulled in there. I'm sorry?
Was it a Vastin, or was it, do you remember what they gave you an injection of?
I don't recall. I can remember is dreading having a needle going into my eye.
Yeah.
And the nurse, before, as they were prepping me, the nurse says, well, don't worry, we're going to numb your eye. You won't feel anything.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Okay, good.
No.
Then she walks in with two needles. And I said, well, what's the other needle for? He says, well, one is to numb you.
One to numb, one's the medicine.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So a couple months go by. The blood dissipates. I'm okay. Then not long after that, I get another bleed. This became a repetitive thing over 7 and 8 months. At one point, my eye had cleared up, and I was driving down to Richwood, West Virginia. A good friend of ours, Dave Spinks, having an event.
Yep, we've had him on
and
the show
I
here.
Decided to take a drive down, and I'm by myself, and I'm 2 hours into the 4-hour trip with the rain pouring down, and I had a bleed. And when I got to Dave's, I finally made it. And I got there, I went into the bathroom. Now, you know, I'm not sure exactly what your situations have been, but when I had those initial bleeds, you couldn't see them. Like, the other person cannot see them.
Right.
Because the blood is behind my eye.
Yep.
So I'm the only one seeing the blood. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got to Dave's, I go in the bathroom and the white of my eye, blood is just all over.
Oh.
So, you know, I go through the event, get home, call the doctor, get back in, go in, get another injection. A couple months after that, I'm Sunday night, about 9 o'clock, watching TV with my wife. And all of a sudden, the screen got blurry in my one eye. I said, oh, I think it happened again. Went down, and I had a very significant bleed. They set me up to have a vitrectomy, which is where they, and this is the fun one, if you thought the injections were bad. They drill into your eyeball in three different spots and basically suck the eye jelly out.
Oh.
So that when the bleeds occur, they'll dissipate quickly as opposed to pooling there and causing my vision to be obscured for long periods of time. So, and that freaked me out because I, being the nosy person I am, I went on YouTube and watched the surgery before I had it done. I don't recommend that for anybody having eye surgery.
Oh.
So I had that done. And, you know, since that time, I've had several bleeds, but because they did that procedure, when they happen, they typically dissipate, you know, within a few days. And it's not a major inconvenience as far as driving, seeing. But the retinal specialist that's been treating me, and from what I've been told, he is one of the best in Pittsburgh. He told me, he said, and the one thing I didn't mention, one thing I skipped over is in between the injections and the vitrectomy, I had had about four different laser procedures mm-hmm. for them to try to cauterize where they thought the bleeds were happening. And if you got it, I sent you the picture of the image of the, it's a picture that I took of the computer screen. It shows all the scarring from my laser procedures.
Yes, I remember getting that. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, and that picture there was taken before my final laser, and I got an even 200 zaps after that picture was taken. He basically said there's nowhere else to laser. He said at this point, they can't say what's causing it. If the bleeds happen frequently and become too much of a nuisance, I can come in for regular injections. Otherwise, it's just going to be something I live with.
Oh. Now, Tom, did I know this is kind of a difficult question to ask, but does the doctor at that point, and I'm just trying to bring up the see if we can show our audience here on camera that's watching on video. That's the picture right there that you sent me. It's a difficult mm-hmm. picture to watch. So if you're watching on video, a little bit of viewer discretion is advised there. So the question here is does the doctor say to you, okay, so we don't know what caused this particular tearing. We don't know what caused this particular bleeding. But if I had to take my best guess, the type of radiation that would have caused this type of bleeding or the type of radiation that would have softened the tissues, if I had to take my best shot, it's this type of radiation. It didn't take any shot in the dark or tell you that whatsoever?
No. I was a little disappointed because I wanted to have some kind of idea. You know, I can't sit here and say I'm not a doctor. The doctor didn't tell me this. So I can't sit here and say that these happened because of those glowing balls of light.
Okay.
All I can tell you is I never had this problem prior.
Right.
And it started relatively soon after the encounter. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. Maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not. All I can say is I got really close. If it is what caused this problem, I'm very grateful I spoke and I did not make physical contact, because if they are the actual cause of this, I have no idea what would have happened if I actually physically came in contact with them.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. For them to say that, because I'll just relate to my own story, right? And I can tell, and people will be like, well, it had to be something, right? You have to have some answer. This is why I think it's so unusual. Now, I've had two retinal vein occlusions, and they've told me each time we know what caused it, right? In my case, well, Tim, you're diabetic. You had high blood pressure. High blood pressure pushes the retinal vein. There was a small blockage in the retinal vein. Boom, it explodes the retinal vein. You get a bleed through the retinal vein into the retina. It causes blood to pool in the eye. There's your problem. That's why you go blind. And then from that point, they put the Avastin shots into the eye. It dries up the blood in the eye. You get your sight back. Well, you get 85% of your sight back. The second time, I took an herbal supplement. Okay. Again, shot my blood pressure sky high. And then I had a bit of because my blood pressure went sky high, I had a little bit of a leakage out of the retinal vein that went into my retina and into my eye. Again, another bleed into the eye, and it had to be cleaned up. And essentially, doc says to me, stay away from stuff that's going to, explode your blood pressure like that. You know, if you're going to take herbal supplements, make sure you pass it through a doctor. So both times they can go through every single one of, the things and say to me, okay, sit down, explain to me what you've done different. But this is multiple times, Tom. This is just, and random times. Right?
And for full disclosure, I too am a diabetic. My diabetes is well controlled. I'm not on insulin. My numbers have been good. And that was the first thing that I thought of. And he said no. He said there is no indicator that would be the cause. A, my sugar is never, like I said, it's controlled. My A1C is always in the low to mid sixes.
Okay. Yeah. And you're active.
My blood pressure is normal.
And you're active. You're active. And that's one of the reasons I pointed out you're active. Yeah.
Yeah. So, my blood pressure has always been normal. Never an issue with that. The glucose or the A1C has always been well managed. They didn't know. And I said, on a couple different visits, I said, well, it's got to be the diabetes, right? I mean, he says, no. He says, I can't say it's not the diabetes, but there's nothing to indicate that would have caused this to happen because you're well in control of everything. He said, if my sugar was way out of whack, if my blood pressure was real high, then they would lean towards that and say, okay, that's what caused it. But mine has always been well in control. And as you said, also, it's not one time. This is, in the last 2 years, and I didn't keep track, but if I had to guess, 12 bleeds.
Wow. That's excessive.
Yeah.
That's excessive.
It's just a mystery. I don't know. I mean, again, to be honest with you, I never really associated the bleeds with those lights. It was Eric that said to me the one day, these started happening just a couple weeks after that first encounter. And then we had that second encounter. Now, we weren't as close to them when Eric and I saw them together. We weren't as close to them as when I was alone. We were probably a good 15, 20 feet away, maybe. but still, you know, had another encounter with them, ironically or coincidentally, on the same road in almost the same spot, give or take maybe 10 yards of where I had the close encounter. So I don't know. You know, it's not in a panicked or frightened way, but ever since this has happened, I'll lay awake and think about it. I think, you know, what would have happened if I didn't speak? What would have happened if I actually came in contact? What would have happened, you know? It baffles my mind because, you know, again, it's a phenomenon that gets reported on the ridge and in other parts of the country too, everywhere from Skinwalker Ranch to, you know, all across the country and other places. It's nothing exclusive, you know, with me. It's just you hear about these anomalies. And as you said, you hear about the disappearances, you hear about all these different things, and you wonder how they're connected. And everything is speculation because we can't even say for certain what these things are.
So, Tom, are you ready for me to blow your mind?
I'm ready.
You said that you had a bleed when you were going to go see our friend Dave before an event, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second time you saw the lights, you were out with Eric out in the woods, and you were, of course, right, looking for something. These other bleeds that you had, were they surrounded around times that you were looking for something?
All I can say is this. During the time that all these bleeds happened, we spent a lot of time at Area X. Now, after Eric and I saw the lights together when they were around Josh, we never really saw the lights after that, at least not the two colors like we had seen on the road and that I came in contact with. We would see little balls of light in the tree line, but nothing like those two experiences. So we were spending a lot of time at Area X because with everything that had happened, with some of the evidence that we had got audio-wise and so forth, there was a lot to, you know, to try to stay on top of. So all I can say for certain is that as these bleeds occurred over time, we were constantly at Area X. Whether or not they coincided to where a bleed happened the next day or, you know, within a couple of days, I can't say that. I honestly never thought about it, never kept track of it.
So what otherworldly thing is trying to keep your eyes closed to the truth? Because that's what's happening.
It wouldn't be anything good, I can say that. As a Christian, I do look at the paranormal as I said, we all look at stuff through our own intellectual or spiritual prism. You know, we all have our base beliefs, and I'm a Christian. I look at everything through that prism and from that direction. So yeah, if something is trying to keep my eyes shut, I would say it would be a darker source. But again, I wish I knew what these were. It's just a fascination now.
I don't know. I think, my friend, it's either something darker that's messing with you or it's something's messing with your eye. I know it's nothing good.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
But nothing good ever interfaces with you and messes with your health. I know that much.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we've said it ad nauseum. We don't know what Bigfoot is. We don't know what the lights are. But looking at it through a Christian perspective, And don't get me wrong, I'm going to disclose this disclaimer right off top. I am not saying Bigfoot is a Nephilim. I'm not saying Bigfoot is X, Y, or Z. But coming from somebody who had always been of the belief that it was a natural primate or something of that nature, after hearing all of Stan's cases, after experiencing what I've experienced, I do believe that there is a solid connection between the UFOs, the Bigfoot phenomenon, the balls of light. What the connection is, I wish I knew.
I may have someone who can answer that for you. I'll talk to you off air about it and see if I can't get you in touch with this person and see if he can if he can answer some questions for you. And I'll get the two of you in touch.
Okay. That'd be great.
And see if we can't get some answers for you. In the meantime, I think we'll leave it at that. And I think it's quite the interesting story. Keep in mind, not everybody has that experience out in the woods. You've had an unusual experience, my friend, and in that, just one of those cautionary tales, I guess, that everyone everybody needs to take precaution when they investigate the paranormal, right? And I, as you said, as a Christian, you're one of those that I'm sure takes precautions every time you investigate. I know I do. And no matter if you're in the woods or if you're in a haunted asylum, no matter where you are, I think it's just important to take precautions. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, just kind of to tag along on that, you know, I do believe that, as the Bible says that, you know, we do live in a spiritual world. So I think the paranormal, the, you know, whatever you want to call it, some people that maybe are not religious will not, maybe spiritual is not the right term, but I believe that it's all around us. It's not a matter of, is this place haunted? Is that place haunted? It's all around us. Some places are more active. Mm-hmm. Some places maybe more likely to see something or experience something, but I do believe it's all around us all the time. So, you know, I hope that people who do get into this type of field, I hope that they just remember, especially if they're going around to hauntings and things like that, that this is not just a 60-minute, you know, hobby like you see on TV. Sometimes when you look at this stuff, it does look back.
Oh, yeah, very much so. That's a great place to end it. With that, we'll mention again, there's a link in the description of this program where you can get tickets to the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. We encourage you to go out and have a good time. August, I know it may seem like an odd transition, but August 22nd to the 23rd, Eric Altman will be out there, Stan Gordon. I know that there's going to be a film that'll be unveiled out there as well.
Yeah, Jay Bachochin is going to premiere his Finding J3. We're going to have music. There's going to be vendors, food trucks, Chinese auction. We're going to have night hikes for people that want to go out and, you know, kind of experience the Bigfoot hunting aspect of it, to be out in the woods. But they'll be with somebody like myself, Eric, somebody that's familiar with the area, you know, can guide them. We're going to have some great guests, Lyle Blackburn, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, Ron Moorhead, Jeff Headley, you know, we have speakers. I mean, you don't want to miss Stan Gordon, Ron Murphy, Dave Spink, Steve Calls, Jay, Mike Familon, a lot of other people, Sean Forker. So, yeah, it's going to be a great time. And as I know, as Eric mentioned, it benefits local charities.
Yes.
So this all goes to charity, whatever we are able to bring in for the event. And I would, you know, just I'd urge people to go on the Pennsylvania Bigfoot website, get your tickets now. They are going fast, and, you know, hopefully we'll see you out there.
Yeah, most definitely. And again, folks, that's the most important thing. Proceeds are going towards charity. We encourage you to get your tickets. And like Tom mentioned, tickets are going fast for this. Campsites are going to go fast for it too. And as I understand from Eric, you guys have partnered up with this campsite, and they're very excited to have you guys out there from year to year. So again, it's going like gangbusters, and you guys have gotten everyone who's anyone in the cryptozoological world to engage in this thing, and you guys are doing a bang-up job with it. So it is the premier cryptozoological event of the year. So you guys are doing a bang-up job with it. So, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming on and telling your tale, because really it is, it's an unusual tale at that. This is very much an unusual tale that I wanted people to hear about, because it's something special. I will tell people that it's a special tale in that you've overcome. You're a warrior. You're a fighter. You're a guy who is passionate about what you do. And you're a special investigator. So I wanted people to get your story. So I really do appreciate you sitting down with me today. Well,
thank you very much, Tim. Really appreciate the kind words, and it was an honor to be on. Anytime, I'd be happy to come back and talk to you.
Sounds good. You know what? We'll have to do it again either before or after Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. Sounds good.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate it. Folks, a couple of reminders before we leave you today. One, the Darkness Radio Apple app, make sure you either update it. There's a brand new iOS update this week. So make sure you've either updated it or you get it for your Apple device. Two, our executive producer of today's program is Troy Palmer. Thank you, Troy, for everything you do. And three, make sure you visit the store, darknessradioshow.com. Visit the store, support the show. We appreciate it if you do. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Beer City Bruiser, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening and watching the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Last year, Ohio Adult Protective Services helped nearly 20,000 older adults impacted by neglect, exploitation, and abuse.
APS's work means so much to us.
APS helped us know what steps to take with Dad.
APS is my lifeline.
If you or someone you know is at risk, you're not alone. When you make a report, we connect older Ohioans to protection, support, and assistance. If you see the signs, don't wait.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.